Hi, everybody. Welcome to SEND Network's ongoing Training for Trainers resource. Thanks for joining us on our journey to learn together how to make your transformational training even better. We want to encourage and empower you to keep growing in your confidence and competence as a trainer. Now, here are the hosts for today.
Well, hi, everybody. I'm Rick Duncan with the SEND Network team, and we're very grateful for you joining us for our first podcast, and we're focusing on how to keep the energy level high when you're doing some training. And we're grateful that you're with us. My wife, Marianne, and I came to Northeast Ohio about 30 years ago to plant Cuyahoga Valley Church, to be a church planting church. And just a few years ago, I transitioned leadership to a younger leader. And now I'm helping to train the trainers of church planters on the East Coast. And my co-host today for this podcast is our church planting ninja, Peyton Jones. So thanks for helping me co-host this podcast. Peyton, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. Hey, part of the Multiply team. I oversee West Region training for the United States and Canada. And just, you know, started church planting really accidentally. Was on staff at Lloyd Jones's church as an evangelist. One thing led to the next. Ended up planting a church in a Starbucks and then in urban Long Beach. And am passionate about training planters. That is my passion. And so it's good to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're my co-host for this. I hope we will have lots of fun together because I just love your energy. I love your passion. I love your insights. So I'm excited about that. And our guest today is our leader for the Multiply team. Of course, that's Mac Lake. Mac is a graduate of Moody Bible Institute, Dallas Theological Seminary. He's been a pastor. He's been a church planter. And he's the architect of Oxano's Leadership Pipeline and Multiply's Training for Church Planters. So, Mac, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks so much for having me on, Rick. This is really, really exciting. I've been married to my wife, Cindy, 31 years, and we planted a church 20 years ago, this September, and got to go back on Easter of this year and visit the church. Of course, we go back on occasion, but it was just so cool to go back on an Easter and see the team, the staff, and so many people that were there when I was there. Church is still going strong. And so from the day we planted it, God just gave us a passion for planting. So we've been involved in church planting one way or another ever since then.
Wow. And you certainly have impacted how we do church planting in Northeast Ohio. So we're really grateful for that. So let me just ask you a general question. What's exciting to you about this Train the Trainer podcast, this ongoing training? What's exciting to you about that?
Yeah, it's really exciting to me because our team got together and you guys and a few others, and we started talking about how can we help our trainers get better, and we threw around a bunch of ideas. But then I loved it because, Rick, you personally took on the challenge of reaching out to a bunch of our trainers, and you interviewed over 10% of our trainers and got feedback from them. What do you want? What do you need? How can we help you get better? And so this is a result of listening to our trainers. We're providing for them what they ask for. We have over 200 trainers across North America right now, and that just blows my mind. There's one guy on our team who put together a Google map and a pinpoint of every location where there is a Multiply trainer. And the first time they showed me that map, my heart just leapt out of my skin. I was so excited to see that, you know, 5 years ago, we were dreaming of saturating this country with phenomenal church plant trainers. And that dream is becoming a reality. And now we want to take it to another level. We really want to help trainers grow in their confidence, their competence, not just in training church planters, but training their staff and, working and developing their children. We want this podcast to help leaders in so many ways. So I'm very, very excited about it.
Well, you know, the training retreat itself, the Train the Trainer retreat itself is so impactful. And I appreciate the fact that you have desired that we carry the impact of that event much further. And so this ongoing training is to try to help us experience more of what we experienced at the retreat. Yeah. Why did you think that's important? I mean, what happens if a guy just goes to the retreat and then doesn't reengage this stuff?
Yeah, we talk about it at the retreat. You know, you have to strengthen those dendrites. You know, at the retreat, we see a lot of synapse happening. You know, there's a lot of connections taking place in the brain of, oh, wow, this is the way I should do training. And guys get excited about it, and they're envisioning a new way of doing training. But if they don't stick with it and they don't practice and they don't develop these skills, then they're just going to go back to that same old of lecturing, which is, we know, the least effective means of training.
Yeah. Hey, Peyton, out there in California, you guys just did a Train the Trainer retreat with Mac. And I know that one of the things that Mac is able to do is to help keep the energy level high. How did you see that happen out there?
Well, one of the things that was really cool, Mac is always talking about managing both the content and the environment. And often you get a co-trainer to help you, but you still have to be able to read the room and see where people are at. And one of the cool things, of course, we're in California and we're a block from the beach. And Mac came into teaching one of his sessions and he immediately just assessed the situation, kind of looked at where the guys were at. It had been a long day, and he just, boom, hey, we're going outside. And we started off our session, sent out in the California sun, and we had guys from Canada and Denver, and so they were more than happy to be standing outside.
Yeah, wait, was that on the script? Was that in the script, or did you go unscripted there?
We went rogue.
So it's okay for a trainer to go rogue sometimes.
That's right.
Well, we've all been in kind of high energy, high impact training sessions. We've all experienced low energy, low impact training sessions. Maybe we've led low energy, low impact training sessions. Yeah. Why is it important, Mac, to keep the energy level high?
Great question, Rick. I'm afraid that not enough trainers think about the issue of energy. We're so focused on content and information that we forget about the energy in the room. Let me contrast two classes I had in seminary. I remember I signed up for this Greek class. It was through 1 Corinthians, and I was so excited about this class. Could not wait to take the class, even though it was a Greek class. I thought, I'm going to learn so much, and I'm going to fall in love with 1 Corinthians. And I remember going in and sitting down in that classroom, and that professor was so boring. He's the most boring professor. No energy, no facial expressions. I mean, no variation in his voice. In fact, he was so boring. He wouldn't even make eye contact with students. And so after 3 or 4 classes, I would sit there with my watch, and I would time how long between he would make eye contact with us. And he would go 3 minutes, 4 minutes without making eye contact. And so I was so bored. Here's the sad thing. You know, I was an excited learner, but wow, his energy killed my curiosity.
Wow.
Now,
you
contrast that with Dr. Hendricks, who, when I showed up in class, he was there early. He engaged you right away. He started real big with something to just grab your attention. He would get so excited when you would give an answer. He would just come out of his chair about your answer. He was excited. You could tell he was excited about our learning. And so his energy fed my curiosity. It's totally, totally opposite experience there. And so it's important that we really assess and understand that the energy level in our sessions are very, very important, because when I'm getting ready to do a training session, I don't want to just deliver information. I want to design an experience that has different levels of energy and engagement.
Wow. That's so good. That's just rich. So the trainer's energy can kill or feed the curiosity of the learner.
Yeah.
I might tweet that later today. That's really good.
Yeah. And so I think we always ask, here's a question I think we have to ask. We're always asking, you know, what information do I have to deliver? What content do I have to deliver? I think we have to also ask the question, you know, what energy am I going to deliver? At what points in the session do I need to deliver a higher energy? And be aware of the energy waves in my session as well.
Yeah.
Mac, I was training church planners for a number of years. And, you know, when I joined this team, you transformed the way that I personally look at training. You've transformed me. And I know that you've mentioned Dr. Hendricks a million times. And it really points to the power, I think, that one trainer, I think we underestimate the impact that we can have on a whole generation just by training. I mean, here's a guy that so changed you that God has been able to use you now to change really a generation when it comes to training church planters. What is the impact that one person can have when they learn to utilize some of the training techniques that you talk about?
Oh gosh, I think the impact's huge. I think we're so accustomed to dumping information and then, you know, wiping our hands and saying, I did my job, I delivered the information. But the question is, did they learn the information? Did transformation take place? And so when you learn to teach the way Dr. Hendricks taught, you know, I mean, you can tell it transformed me. You know, I took him every single semester. There was a loyalty I had to him, a following I had. You know, I would follow him back to his office after class just to, you know, squeeze out two or three more questions, you know, because he fed my curiosity. So he not only taught me what he knew, he turned me into a lifelong learner. And that's what I want to do in a training session. I don't want to just teach them what I know. I want to stir a curiosity that will make them a lifelong learner. That's transformation.
Wow. All right. Now, what we all want to know is who is that other professor that you talked about? I don't even remember his name. Okay.
I erased it from my memory.
Yeah. Right. No, we really don't want to know. But what are a few things that create low energy in a training time? What creates low energy?
Yeah, good question. There are a lot of factors that can create low energy. Let me give you what I think is probably the top four. Number one is the student does not feel challenged. They're just unchallenged. And so, you know, sometimes they come in that way. They come in like, well, I already know it all. Sometimes our lack of energy or the lack of capturing their attention can create that sense of boredom or that feeling of not being challenged. And so I think that's a big one is just, you know, I want to be able, every time I deliver training, I want to challenge that. I want to know their minds, their thoughts are challenged. And so that means for me, I have to study every single time. I got to study because here's my goal. Every time I train, I want to find something fresh because when I find something fresh, I can deliver it with enthusiasm. May not be new to them, but it's new to me. And I can deliver with enthusiasm. And if you deliver something with enthusiasm, you know, they may already know it, but at least they're going to feel challenged through their process. The second thing that I think creates low energy is a poor environment. It's a poor environment. And men especially don't give enough value to this. You know, they just go into the room and they plop down a table and chairs and they just go about, but they don't think about how comfortable are these chairs? Where are these chairs positioned? What's the temperature in the room? Is it too hot? Is it too cold? Is it too light? Is it too dark? You know, we got to think about the environment because as you know, in Train the Trainer, we say your environment is your co-trainer. So, you know, the question I always want to ask myself is what does my environment communicate to the learner? Does the environment communicate that I care about your learning or does it communicate, I really don't care, you know, I just care about the information? No, the environment is your co-trainer. And if you have a poor environment, it can drain. If it's too hot, it's going to drain their energy. If it's too dark, it's going to drain their energy. And so we got to look at those things. The third factor that I think creates low energy is poor nutrition. And there's not a whole lot you can do that outside the training hours. But during that training hour, you can do something about it. And so poor nutrition, so I think, you know, in your training, you want to provide water. You want to provide healthy snacks. Those sort of things, because you don't want to give them a lot of sugar because, you know, sugar, we know, gives you that blood sugar spike, and then a crash. And so halfway through the session, you know, they're eating candy over there, then they're going to have an energy crash. Now, get this. UCLA did a study a while back. It wasn't that long ago. They did this study where they put lab rats on a high sugar diet, and they studied them. They studied the rat, how well the rats could learn and how well they could remember. And they put little, you know, electrodes on their brain, and they studied their brain, and they discovered that when they put them on a high sugar diet, it slowed down their learning and it impaired their memory. And so the takeaway is this, that when you're taking sugar in all the time, and hey, Americans we love our sugar. When you're doing that, you're damaging the synaptic activity in the brain. And it means your brain cells are not going to be able to communicate and learn as well as if they were free of the sugar. And hey, and sugar has no nutritional value, so you don't need it in the classroom. It's only going to impair learning. So poor nutrition. So not providing soft drinks, not providing sugary candies and those sort of things is going to help at least during that time. You want to, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but you want to provide healthy brain energy feeding foods. And we'll look at some of that in just a little bit. But, and then the fourth thing that I think can cause low energy is the misapplication of the four quadrants. And so, you know, when you're looking at the quadrant one and quadrant two, the descriptive and the directive, you want to make sure that you're not going too long on those. Those are short because they're passively engaged in quadrant one, quadrant two learning techniques. So, you know, don't stretch it out too long because they'll start to get bored. And then quadrant three, quadrant four, discovery and design. Make sure you're not dominating that time. That time is designed to draw out of them to see what they're learning, what they're thinking, and challenging their thinking. So don't overteach during those times, because then they're gonna go, oh, he's the smartest guy in the room. Therefore, I can dial it back. I don't have to think as hard. And so I can dial back my energy a little bit because he's doing all the thinking for me. And so I want, in a training session, I want the guys to think hard, because that's going to keep their energy levels up. And the quadrants and our sessions are designed to help with that.
Wow. I love that.
You know, just an observation, going back to your first point, I stole your script when you left Train the Trainer. You left it behind. And you mentioned you study. Now, you wrote this training, but I've got your script, and here's the deal. You studied, you marked this thing up. Like, this is not just, oh, a quick look at it. Yeah. This was like a first-time trainer coming back, and I was so inspired. And when we mentioned Dr. Hendricks earlier, the reality is you inspire us. Mm. This energy that you have to make it the best training possible is the reason why one of your trainers grabs your notebook and says, I'm going to take that home and learn from him. Because, brother, that's what you do for us. Oh, and but you. That's infectious. I just love that you have modeled every single thing to us that you just said.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
That's so funny.
So listen, what happens if there's low energy on the part of the trainer? What happens if there's low energy on the part of the trainee? What are some dynamics that take place there?
Yeah, if the trainer has low energy, so here's the deal. You think you're communicating the information. You think you're communicating the content. But if you have low energy, you're not. You're communicating a whole different message. You're communicating, it depends on what the learner's receiving it as, but you may be communicating, I really don't care. I'm not really passionate about this. I don't know this content that well. I'm not that interested in you learning. I'm more interested in me teaching than I am you learning. That's one of the biggest things, you know? And so you got to have energy in a training session. Now, I'm not saying you have to be a Tony Robbins, you know, seminar, you know, rah, rah, you know, get them pumped up type of thing. It's not that at all, but you have to be aware of your posture. You have to be aware of your facial expressions, and you have to be aware of your vocal tone. And those three things are how you're communicating your energy, your body posture, your vocal tone. your facial expressions, all those things. And so, you know, film yourself training and watch it back to see if you're communicating a lack of energy. Now, I would also add to this is if you think you're a low energy trainer or you're getting feedback that you're a low energy trainer, then, you know, ask yourself, why do I not have energy? You know, it might be, hey, I don't know the content very well, so I'm uncomfortable. Maybe you're nervous. I've seen this before. Guys get nervous before they train. And so, you know, their adrenaline's flowing, their cortisol's flowing in their body. And so they're distracted. Their brain's not firing like it should because they're not relaxed and they're uptight. And so their energy comes out in a wrong way, in a fidgety way, you know, in a nervous way. And so I think you need to really stop and say, you know, also, you know, why am I delivering this low energy? Maybe you know the content too well and you know so well that you're not challenged by it anymore. And so, you know, I would just say, you know, it's really, really important to look at your own energy to change it. I would say get to the classroom early. Get to the classroom early. Get set up. Because when I have control of the environment, I feel good. I feel settled. I can look around there. Everything's in place. I feel good about it. You know, if you're nervous, practice deep breathing. You know, breathe in through your nose, 6 seconds, hold it for two, breathe out through your mouth for 7 seconds. Do that about 10 times. That lowers your cortisol levels. It calms you down and it frees up your mind to think, you know, in a more settled state. And then, I rehearse the win in my head. You know, I'm going through the questions and I'm imagining what's going to happen in that session. And so I'm just like a basketball player, you know, he envisions shooting those free throws and making 10 out of 10. I'm envisioning a good session. I'm envisioning discovery happening and just trying to think through those things. And that helps give me energy as well.
Mm-hmm. What are a few tricks that a trainer can use to amp up personal energy level?
Yeah, to amp up their own personal energy level, one, I would say, number one, it goes back to nutrition. You know, that's one of the first things I would say. You know, make sure that you're not eating a bunch of and drinking a bunch of sugary products before you go in there and train. You know, you want to really eat really clean so your brain is functioning at optimal level. You want to make sure you're hydrated. You know, that's why we put water out on the tables in front of every student, because research shows us if you are 1% dehydrated, just 1% dehydrated of what your body needs, your energy level drops by 20%. Okay. Whoa. And so if you're, Cindy and I went downtown yesterday, great day, exercise, feeling good, did all kinds of stuff. On the way back, she said, "Ooh, I'm feeling sleepy." I said, "You know why you're feeling sleepy? Because we were out in that sun and I held up her water bottle. I said, "You didn't take one drink, girl." And so I said, "Here." And so she started drinking and she was getting ready to lay down, take a nap. After she drank that and guzzled that, she was wide awake.
Wow.
And so those things impact our energy levels, you know, making sure you're getting a good night's sleep. And, you know, it varies. The number of hours varies for different people. But make sure you get a good night's sleep the night before. And so you're well rested and then well prepared, you know, just well prepared and excited. I want to be excited about what I'm teaching. And that impacts my energy level.
Yeah. And I do think it's important for us to remember, hey, wait a minute, I'm training the trainers of Church Planters, or I'm training Church Planters. Think of the dozens and hundreds and thousands of lives that are going to be impacted by what's happening here. Yeah. So for me, I try to dial forward to say, look, this is important. I need to give my best to this. Now, where did you get that statistic? 1% down on hydration creates a 20% drop in energy level. Where did you get that?
Sean Stevenson has a health podcast that I listen to every single week. It's called The Model Health Show. And I forgot what episode it is. It's like episode 75 or something like that. And it's he did a 1 hour, what he calls hydration masterclass. And it's just 1 hour on water. You listen to that, it will change the way you drink water.
I'm going to take a drink right now. So what are you doing personally to keep up your energy level?
Yeah. Gosh, for me, it's some of those things that I mentioned. You know, for me, every day, I want to operate every day at optimal energy. In fact, one of my goals this year is I want to be at optimal energy, optimal health every day. And so you guys know I'm health conscious, but I've dialed it up this year. And so, I want to start the day the right way. And so I've got a little sticker in my bathroom closet. When I open it up in the morning, it says, am I being proactive or reactive in the first 2 hours of my day? I want to be proactive the first 2 hours of my day. And so that means I get up, I go in there. First thing I do is drink 16 ounces of water with lemon in it. And then I have my quiet time. I'm real fortunate where we live. There's a little gym right down the hall from us. And I go down in about 20 minutes. I do stretches, get on a foam roller, and then I do high intensity interval training, which is about 3 to 4 bursts of about 25 seconds of high, high, high intensity. So workout only takes about 8 minutes, maybe at the most, and done with that. And then come back, get dressed for the day, time block my day. And then you just feel like, man, I spent time with God. I knocked out some of the physical disciplines first thing in the morning. So, feel good about that. And if you can make your first 2 hours of your day proactive, then you're like, okay, I don't check email. I don't check in social media, anything, first 2 hours a day. And that really helps me as well. And then, we eat what God made. And that's just for me, that's a theological principle. If God made it, I can eat it, and so I'm not going to eat anything that man made that's a processed deal, because my body's not designed to process it. And when I'm eating processed food, my body is not designed for that. Therefore, it takes more energy and more work and creates a lack of health and depletes my energy faster than it would. So you can eat a high calorie food that's healthy, a low calorie food that's processed. And even though this is more calories, the other one is the unhealthy one is going to have a bigger impact on your energy. Wow. And so and it's those disciplines so that we can optimize our health for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God. That's my goal. It's not to look good. It's to feel good and to optimize my contribution to this physical body that God's given me and this brain that God's given me, to optimize that for the greatest kingdom good that I can. And this is why this topic is so important for trainers. Is if we're not optimizing our brain and our body, then are we giving our best to in our kingdom work?
Well, I want to drill deeper into what you just talked about in our next podcast. But Peyton, if I could ask you, what is kind of a general takeaway from what Mac's been telling us that you're trying to process in your heart right now?
Well, I'm guilty right now of letting my health go a little bit. And I saw a picture and our trainer of me teaching a session, and I went, whoa, funny enough, I've heard Mac talking about this, but I started just eating the healthy snacks that we had at our trainer. And I ate salad for dinner. I just changed my diet over the next 4 or 5 days. So that was Thursday. Today is Monday. My energy level has been crazy. I wrote the team about a disturbance in the middle of the night that I had about 1 a.m., which upset my sleep. But I had so much energy the next day. And I kept saying to my wife, I don't understand. Why am I not super tired? It was my diet.
Wow.
And I went, whoa. Yeah. I'm onto something here, and I'm listening, and I'm processing everything that's being said right now, because I've just been experiencing it, and I'm going, oh my gosh, this is a game changer for me. Because I think, like Max said, we want to be as productive as we can possibly be. I want to process things better. I want to create things better, and I want to deliver things better. And this has to do with all those areas.
Yeah, here's the principle, Rick. Food determines your focus. Food determines your level of focus. And so you want to provide brain-boosting foods in your training sessions. That's walnuts and almonds, macadamia nuts, pumpkin seeds, Hey, it sounds frou-frou, celery, broccoli, cauliflower. Put some hummus out there. Hummus is a brain-boosting food. String cheese, coffee, green tea, those dark chocolate. You can get sugar-free dark chocolate. And so those are loaded with antioxidants. It's just going to be a brain-boosting food to help you be more alert, give you more energy, and help you learn more and help your neurons do what they were designed to do, the way God designed them to do it.
All right. So Mac, wrapping this up here, this particular podcast, how can we do some deep practice with some of the concepts you've talked about today?
Yeah, great question. This is something our team talks about a lot, because there's naive practice. Naive practice is going about and just applying whatever, you know, and doing whatever. You know, like, say you're playing piano, you want to learn piano, you just sit down and play the notes. But deep practice is saying, no, I'm going to learn this aspect of it, and therefore I'm going to really dive in, and I'm going to practice with a goal and practice with intentionality and observe where I'm growing, where I'm failing, where I'm succeeding. And so really, I would say two takeaways for our trainers to really practice deep, apply this and have deep practice. Number one is practice reading the energy of the room. Practice reading the energy of the room. And you can do that during your multiply training. You can do that in your staff meetings. You can do it at the dinner table when you're sitting around with your family. Just sit back, observe, watch the conversation, and try to read whose energy is high, whose energy is low, who's engaged, who's disengaged, and ask yourself the question, why? And then ask yourself a question, what can I do to change it? And so, you know, over the next, you know, couple of weeks, any environment that you're in that's a group environment, practice reading the energy of the room. That's one thing. And then the second thing I would say is choose one personal practice that will increase your energy. Maybe for you, it's saying, hey, I'm gonna stay hydrated, which means you need to drink an ounce of water for every, I weigh 220. So that means I need to drink 110 ounces a day to stay hydrated. All right. So maybe for you, it's saying, I'm going to drink water to keep my energy level up. Maybe for you, it's, I'm going to do high intensity interval training, which is one of the best health practices you can do. And so, like I said, my morning workout lasts somewhere between 6 and 10 minutes, and it gives you an incredible energy boost in the morning. For some of you, it might be, hey, I'm going to bed an hour earlier than I normally do. So you know, pick one health practice and just try to develop that discipline of doing that one health practice to give you more energy over the next week.
Well, thank you, Mac, for sharing your heart with us. Thank you for sharing your passion. Thank you for being a man of great energy, great intensity, because we all feed off of that, and we really do appreciate that. And thanks for reminding us that it is important for us to monitor the energy in the room, and some of that just basically starts with us. Amen. So we appreciate the fact that everybody's been listening to this podcast today, and we hope you'll join us again next time. We just encourage you to keep growing in your competence and your confidence as a trainer. God bless.
Thanks for listening today. Our mission at Send Network Training is to equip multiplying leaders with reproducible systems to plant more healthy churches. You can follow us on Twitter at Send Network Trainers or on Facebook at Send Network Church Planter Trainers. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. This podcast was made possible by the Send Network of the North American Mission Board.